You are listening to the Pencil and Paper Podcast Network.
Welcome back to Super Mega Crash Beyond. I am your host, Stephen White. With me, as always, is my co-host, Lacia Finley.
Happy Monday.
How you doing today? You doing good?
Yeah, not so bad. We've had some decent weather.
Have you?
Getting out of the house. It flip-flops, you know, depending, I guess, on when we're listening to all of these things. It's like that time of year where it's like everyone's going to get sick because one day it's going to be 51. The next day it's going to drop back to 25. Then it'll go back up to 45 and rain all day. And then the next day it'll get to 20 and then everything freezes. And you're just like, I don't know how to leave the house.
Yeah, it feels like it's been raining nonstop. And when it gets into these weeks where it just feels like it rains all the time.
All the time.
It's just disappointing. And I don't understand why the rain always seems to come on the weekends. You know?
Right? Rain like, during we want to go play. Right. You know? Right. I don't know. Mother Nature's just been very cranky. We haven't treated her well. So I'm maybe lashing out is fine. We should allow it.
I get it.
But still, yes. Can you just like rain through the week so we can go outside? I didn't do it. Can I not be graded as a group?
No. Yeah, please. Yeah. For love of God.
Right. But
I would just like to have some nice days. I know it's still technically winter, but I don't know. I'm just tired of the gloom, the cold, the rain, the just nasty
weather. Sucky time of year. Yeah. And this is why most people have like seasonal depression and things like that. It's just so, especially if you're in an area that's dark for a super long period of time. I know I hate it when we decide to fall back because I know we've had this discussion about which would be better to leave it. I just feel like leaving it darker later feels great. But I understand some people are like, but I'd like daylight when I leave for work. Nobody's going to somebody's going to get pissed, whichever one, if they ever finally decide to stop the nonsense with the time changes, which one would you pick? I feel like daylight savings time, but they'd go back to standard, I think, and we'd have where we are now.
I feel like I heard it was the other way around that they would go for, but the scientifically, from what I remember hearing, the fall back or the non-daylight savings time is the way our body should be appropriately set to survive. Like there was a whole reason for it. Like having that extra hour throws off our rhythms and it causes health problems.
I don't know. It makes me wonder what people back in the day before we had all of this stuff, how did we survive as a species? I tell you, you needed 3 rounded meals a day, 8 hours of sleep. You're supposed to be awake. But, back in the day, were anybody paying attention to that shit? They were just like, survive, right? I feel it's funny how we think today it's just so much more complicated for us to like be in our bodies. I understand tech's kind of messed us up mentally, but I'm just saying I feel like bodies are probably operating the same unless you're like introducing new things into it that's not natural for your own body. I just find it funny.
Yeah.
Like how much we scientific things where I'm like, but we've slept for thousands of years. Why?
No, I get it. I get it. I mean, again, even what I'm telling or I'm saying, I don't know if it's true. I read this paper from scientists and it was like, okay, it makes sense, I guess.
Sure.
So, I mean,
I believe our brains need to be off when it's dark and on when it's light. And that's probably the best I can come up with. Like your brain's like, oh, daytime. And then when you go outside at night, oh, nighttime. So maybe your brain's like, time to sleep.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you're not productive at all through the day, I don't know if it's going to make any difference,
That is true. That is true.
I've read, be productive within the first 4 hours of the day. only our generation, you know, like new generation of people would not have been productive in the first 4 hours of the day, if you think about it. Like, you had to farm. Mm-hmm. You had to knit clothes. You had to, I don't know.
I mean, that makes sense. But I don't know. I'm where you were talking about living in a place where it's dark for what, that whole 30 day, isn't it 30 yeah. days? They say
something like that. Sometimes I think even longer for some of them. But man, I don't know.
I think I would. I don't think I would do well, because I feel like I have hints of that wintertime depression. Because there's, you know, and there's times I feel like around this time of year, it does hit me. Just times where I feel like I'm just not right mentally. Mm-hmm. And I genuinely think it's because I'm cooped up in the house all the time. You don't want to go out. You don't want to get out in the cold. You don't want to get out in the rain. You just, you feel like this is all you do. Mm-hmm. And while I do love my movies and my games and such, sometimes I feel like my body just needs to get outside and do stuff. And I like to try and do that.
Yeah. Not inside the house all the time. Yeah. No, I feel you there. Yeah. Why do you think so much of us were effed up coming out of the pandemic?
Yeah.
Like being stuck in the house for 6 months or more. You know, it's just like, that's why we're not all right. That hit me, and I wasn't expecting it. I'm a very much loner, leave me the hell alone kind of individual. You know, it took a few months before it finally hit me, but I was like, yeah, even I kind of want to not be in here anymore.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot for me to get to there. Like, it really does. But anyway, that's not what we're talking about today.
That's right. Today, I thought it would be fun, since the last few weeks we've done TV shows and movies and stuff. I mean, that's like I said, we're just bouncing all over trying to figure out different things.
It's winter. That's what we're doing, right? Yeah. Movies and games.
So, yeah, today I thought I would bring a game. And this is a game that I've recently been playing. It wound up on the PlayStation Plus catalog. So, you know, it was free to play.
Sure.
Define that however you want.
Right, right.
Like our streaming services. It's free that I'm paying.
You pay.
Yeah. But this one dropped on there. I want to say I remember hearing about it when it was announced, but with a lot of games here lately, there's so many.
Yeah. My gosh.
I probably did see a trailer for it and it was like, oh, that's cool. And then forgot. And then it just disappeared because it was not a big release, or at least I don't remember it being a big release. No big fuss. It wasn't Spider-Man 2, you know, coming out of the woodwork being
Game
like, look at us, look at us, woo! And there's marketing all over. This is a, I guess I would consider it an indie title. Nobody Saves the World. I didn't even said the title of it yet. Mm-hmm. And it's from Drinkbox Studios, who we know best for Guacamelee and Guacamelee 2, this game that I apparently...
Yeah, just drug us along.
if you don't know the story, TLDR, because I think we talked about this way back. This is during our PAX episodes back in the old show. I think it was Guacamelee 2. They were doing a demo at PAX, and... You, me, Todd, and Beth.
Say, I think Beth was there.
All four of us were there. This is a four-player game. They're just like, you guys want to try it out? We're like, hell yeah, because, I mean, we knew of the game, or at least the first one, so here's a
sequel. Guacamelee was a lot of fun. Why not a sequel? Right.
Yeah, that's... Yeah. I don't think we talked about that on the old show, so that could be something we could bring around and discuss again, because... I would love to talk about
that. It's a great game.
One. Yeah.
It is a great game. It's
fantastic.
A lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. So, again, with that kind of production or
quality
developer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Quality developer. They've done some great stuff. I was intrigued. I was like, oh, all right. Yeah. Drinkbox. I remember them. And so I wanted to check this out. The aesthetic already, if you see a trailer for it, it speaks to me because I like the art style in which they're going for. Kind of, I don't want to say it's related or relatable to Guacamelee, because Guacamelee had a lot of luchador, Mexican culture type aesthetic.
Very Latin feel for a lot of it,
And even the character designs, they had a very unique style, whereas this has its own unique style as well. So I wouldn't really mm-hmm. say they are comparable in that way. But it's very cartoony, I guess it'd be the best way to kind of explain the characters away. They have this Cartoon Network-ish.
You know, that's a style.
Have these little quirky designs. I don't even want to say that that's accurate, but somewhere in there between that, maybe some Nickelodeon stuff where there's something about the art style that feels familiar, but it doesn't represent anything that you've seen. You know, it just seems like there's a style that's somewhat familiar. But yeah, I wanted to talk about this game because I wanted to recommend it, and I want to explain why I want to recommend it, because it's something wholly unique, or at least I feel like it is, while paying homage to certain other games and game styles, genres, and whatnot. So it's, I guess I would call it an action RPG in a sense. If I had a game to immediately relate it to in some kind of aesthetic, it would be A Link to the Past, which is the Zelda game from the Super Nintendo, because it has that top-down perspective. You see the map very much in that same regard, where it's on a slant, top-down, I guess, as I said.
Okay. Yeah, I was just kind of looking at it here because I wanted to see the art style. But yeah.
And even the way the map is laid out feels very much Zelda-esque. It's like
that. It's got that feel that I'm seeing here from the level designs.
It's almost like that's where they started the seed of the idea. It's like, I want to do a Zelda game, but not quite do just Zelda. So what could we do with that idea? So we have a base game. Mm-hmm. Want it to play very much like Zelda. So you've got this big map, and you have a lot of dungeons that you get to fight around in, and then you get stuff from the dungeons, and you keep going, and you explore. Furthermore, just like in a Zelda game or a very good, solid Zelda game, the world is open to you, but you have to be very aware of what you're capable of. Because you get into, like, if you remember the original Zelda game, if you start off at the very start, you grab your sword and you take a path directly north and try to go that way, you're probably going to encounter some harder enemies.
Sure.
Furthermore, you might not even be able to get that far. You can go, you can try to find your way around, but there's probably going to be something that's going to stop you from getting farther, so you need to go find a tool or something that's going to help you progress. That's what this feels like in essence. While you can traverse quite a bit of the map, and it doesn't say, well, you got to go here, you got to go there. You can go anywhere, but at some point you are going to be stuck and you'll need an ability of sorts to kind of get around. And then you can unlock the paths, which then open up your map even further. So you don't always have to go around this big path. They even kind of give you teleportation disc that you find in certain areas. So you have a fast warp, thank God. Because, again, this is a very big map. The base premise of the game is that you are some guy, a nobody, as they refer to you as. You don't know who you are, what you're doing, what have you. You seem to have this understanding that maybe you were a wizard's apprentice or something of that nature. You start off locked up in this dungeon because apparently maybe you did something or someone's trying to keep you out of the way, so you don't know, so you're trying to figure out what's going on. But you are then imbued with a magic wand, or you're given to it or found. I can't remember. It's been a while since I started the game. I'm trying to remember the story. But you have this magic wand, and you find out that the magic wand allows you to change form. So, you have your base design, which I really appreciate how they did this, especially with the character design. So, your character is just this pale white person, just as plain as day, with black eyes, a little face, and that's it. And yeah. even your attacks, I feel like they had a funny little name for it. It's just like a little slappy slap. So you just slap stuff. And even the way he does it, the animation is like, eh. Like he just looks like he's just like that when he's swatting stuff.
Yep.
So he's not exactly going to be your base character you're going to play the entire game. He can't do much. But that's where the wand comes in. So mm-hmm. you first unlock, I think your very first form you unlock is a rat or a mouse. So
okay.
you are able to kind of sneak through this little hole in the wall because you're a mouse. And from there, you find your way out and then you get out into the open world. And then you find out that there's some big fancy wizard, Nostra. I think it's Nostramagus is what they call him, but it's like Nostradamus. Sure. You know, you see the relatability and how they're doing the parallels. Mm-hmm. And he's like, there's a big calamity in the world. Again, try to think in very much in the vein of Zelda or something like that. There's something happening, so they're calling it the Calamity. The only mm-hmm. person that can stop it is Nostramagus, and he's nowhere to be found. So what are they going to do? Well, he has I think it was his protege, Randy the Red or Randy the Rat. He's a dick.
Okay.
Yeah. He feels like he is the one who should have the wand, and he's supposed to save everything, but you come in, and you have the wand, and you're doing... Well, he's just not going to tolerate that now. So uh-huh. he's always trying to, no, don't do that. You're in the way. Get out of the way. He's a typical douche that you're going to have to uh-huh. encounter throughout the entire game. But anyway, you follow along your path. You're trying to figure out what you need to do. You start talking to townspeople and whatnot. And that's the other part about this map. It's not just enemies and what have you. There's towns that you can visit, people you'll encounter, people who will ask for your help. And okay. a lot of the stuff that they ask your help for could be as simple as, hey, I lost my watch or something, and I need your help finding it. Or it could be something a lot more complicated that's going to cause you to have to traverse a part of the map. So at least luckily they will give you a marker, like mm-hmm. a exclamation point on the map or a question mark, being like, this is where this quest is going to happen. So when you get there, you can take care of that. But mm-hmm. We've got it marked for you, so you can come back to it. And that's especially where the teleportation things come in real handy.
I'm a fan of fast travel. Yeah. I don't need my game to be longer by me just going back and forth. Mm. I just don't. It's not fun.
I mean, there was a point where I would kind of avoid it at first. And I think that was more for the sake of building up my levels and whatnot, because the RPG mm-hmm. element to it is something I do want to touch on, because it can be a lot at first. So, as I said, you have this wand and you have multiple forms you can take. Now, each form has something that is special to one character, and then kind of a more wide variety of abilities that this character can do. And I guess the best way to describe this idea, because I feel like it's playing on this idea, but not necessarily ripping it off or just saying, oh, no, it's just this. Kind of like job systems they do in certain role-playing games, where you have... Final Fantasy Tactics, I think, is one. Maybe, I think. I don't know. There's one Final Fantasy game where it's all about jobs. In fact, I remember Dave even talking about it. I think it was like 3 or 5 or whatever. I know I played it, but I can't remember which one it is. Could be both. Point being, think of each form that you take as a job class. So you start off as the mouse and mm-hmm. or a rat. I guess he's a rat. We'll say he's a rat.
The rat.
Yeah. A big rat. Big rodent, you know, that would make more sense. But anyway, you got a rat. Then you can unlock a knight. There's a ranger. You can be a turtle. You can be a zombie. You can be a mermaid. Trying to think of what else. You can be a ghost.
Damn.
You can be an egg. I'm still trying to figure out what the egg is.
I was just going to ask, what purpose would that serve?
At first, not much, but I feel like there's something coming because for all the jobs that I have for the egg thus far, you're trying to get it hatched. So you found these nests laying around the areas. You put the egg in the nest, a bird will come over and sit on it, and then it cracks, and then that's the end of that. So I haven't finished the egg yet, but I just need to, I feel like one more nest, and then I got it, and I'll see what this egg is. It could just be another egg.
Probably. It's like a Russian nesting doll of eggs.
I feel like there was some more that I'm forgetting. Doesn't matter. Anyway.
So that's already still quite a lot, yeah. I think.
A horse. Yeah. There you go. There was another one.
A horse. Be Mr. Ed for a day.
Yeah. So, like I said, each one is very unique in their own way. So, the knight is very combat heavy. So, it's kind of slow, kind of tankish. But, I mean, he's got a sword. He can just, you know, start walloping on enemies and what have you. Your archer. She, or I guess they call her a ranger, but it's an archer. Best way to kind of put it.
Yeah, ranger, archer.
Yeah. Faster, ranged attacks. Your turtle can swim, like your mermaid can swim. Your horse runs fast, can do some heavy kicks. You have a bodybuilder. That was another one. He's, is he something to look at? Let me say that. He's just this big, ripped...
His muscles.
Muscle man! And his attack is pretty much taking like some, they're not dumbbells. They're the things with the...
Push-up bar?
Push-up bar, I guess, with the weights and everything.
Oh, like a bench press?
Yeah, I feel like there's a term for the tool, but maybe it's a bench press.
Which way are you going, up or this way? I thought you were going out this way. I think that's just the bench press, where you're like laying flat and you've got the bar and you're pushing away from yourself. Yeah, and should have a spotter so you don't die.
Yeah, so he's got a bar. And that's his attack. He pretty much takes the bar and then chucks it at the enemies and then it pushes them backwards.
Okay.
So, anyway, I'm getting off topic. like we do.
Yeah, we do.
But each one has some special ability in some way. So, you have your base ability that they have. Then, as you level them up, you get a new ability. And then you'll essentially have four by the time you're done. But then you have passive abilities that you can earn, which can be, you know, like earning extra health items, earning mana, which is kind of like your magic, if you will. Mm-hmm. And then just various things like that. Earn, like, money magnets and what have you. Just various things. So you get all that stuff. And, again, as you level up your base level, because you have levels for your forms... And then you have your base level, like whatever you're doing throughout the entire game. So as you build your base level, then you can start to adjust your abilities. So whether it be passive or your actual attack abilities. So you don't have to stick with those. In fact, they encourage you to change them around. So you can have like the rat's biting, it does like a poison attack, I think is what it is. So, like, he has a bite that causes, like, a poison. So you can take...
So, just an unhealthy rat.
Very, very unhealthy rat.
Yeah.
So, you can then take that passive ability of adding poison and then give it to maybe, like, the ranger. So, when they attack, they, too, can inflict poison. And there are even other things. You can have, like, a stun ability. I think there was slow and... Oh, zombie, you're infected.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't sure how the zombie would actually play, but...
Yeah, like, what kind of attacks would a zombie have?
Well, they make it very interesting, and I do appreciate how they play it around with certain aesthetics with this. So, the zombie, specifically, is always dying, because it's a zombie.
Sure.
So, when you equip the zombie, you have to pay very close attention because your health will be dropping as you play as the zombie. However, every time you attack, you get health back. So, if you're like within a large group of enemies, zombie is actually a pretty good option unless you are like really, really overwhelmed. But you can just keep swiping and you're always getting health. So, you're staying alive. Again, not going to be a flawless idea or concept, but it's come in handy for me.
Okay.
Furthermore, you can infect enemies which then in turn, when they kill them, they will then come back as zombies and fight with you. So you can create like an army of zombies mm-hmm. following
you. Oh, shit. Yeah.
And obviously they can die just the same, but still, mm-hmm. if you're playing your cards right, bite, 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 kill, 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 you can have like a big army of zombies following you and attacking all the other enemies.
Nice.
So
okay.
it can be pretty cool.
So you're like recruiting. In so a way. Power in numbers. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Similarly, there's a magician character. That was another one that I forgot. And the magician can pull rabbits out of his hat. They too become enemies. And then eventually, if you're lucky, you can pull out a big white tiger. And then that one also becomes one of your familiars that you can okay. use to help combat. Mm-hmm. That also kind of comes in handy. I mean, it's... You use your strategy properly with a lot of these characters, and you can pull off some pretty interesting stuff. Very much like Guacamelee, where you had these abilities that they would give you, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. you knew that if you used it just right, you could achieve the impossible.
Yeah.
And it just took some time and practice.
To figure out which ones yeah. and all that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, what mm-hmm. are you going to do? How are you going to do this? So very mm-hmm. much in that vein, I feel like that's the concept here. They're giving you a wealth of options on how to play and how to play your own way. Like, I wouldn't even say unless they force your hand, which even in saying that, I don't feel like they're forcing you to do anything. Specific, like you can still make your adjustments and do it however you want. Mm-hmm. But like I said, with the enemy characters and all their abilities, sometimes you have enemies that have wards on them. So you have four wards, which is like impact attacks, like strong hits, ranged attacks, dark attacks, and light attacks. Each one of your characters has a version of these attacks. So, if you have a character that you think is your favorite, so to speak, you can layer them up with one of each attack, and you don't have to swap anything, you know? Mm. So, if you encountered these enemies with these wards, and you had a character with all four wards equipped, bada bing, bada boom, you know?
All right.
If it works for you, if that's how you want to play, there you go.
Go for it, yeah.
But... how the RPG element kind of comes into play and how you would even kind of progress this is where they kind of force your hand to swap characters. But again, in a good way, because it's all about leveling up. So you have your base level, like I mentioned. You have like two experience bars. Your base level, everything that you do, whether it's collecting treasures, defeating dungeons, what have you, you get base experience. So you'll have like one base level that will always go up. Mm-hmm. But then your forms have different levels in which they will increase, and it's more like by letter. So your rat starts at like an F level or whatever. You uh-huh. upgrade an ability, boom, it goes up to D, and then keep going up and up and up until like you become an S class.
Okay.
So with those, your abilities, whatever that character learns, you can then level those up and they become stronger or more efficient, whatever it may be. Uh-huh. So, to level up your mm-hmm. forms, you have to do certain tasks that they will ask you to do. Some seem very simple. Some can be a little bit more complicated. So, for example, say it tells you as the rat to poison 20 enemies. Go around, mm-hmm. bite 20 enemies until they're poisoned. Boom, done. You've done that.
Yeah.
When you go into your menu... you select it as complete, because you'll have this huge checklist of things that they'll tell you to do. Like, I don't think there will ever be a moment where you don't have, like, a lot. Or at least, uh-huh. maybe until, like, the end of the game when everything starts to kind of come down. But right now, I feel like I've got 2 pages worth of stuff that I need to do. And it's not just mission stuff. It's stuff like this, you know, uh-huh. leveling up your characters. So when you complete that, that will then raise their experience bar for that form. And once that bar is completed, then you'll raise a level up to like a B or an A or whatever. And then mm-hmm. again, that raises the level for your abilities that you can then upgrade. Because you get these experience coins, I guess that's the best way to call them. They don't really give them, or if they did, I didn't catch it. But they're like these little blue medallions with an arrow on them, and you collect them, and that's what you use to upgrade your abilities.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Now, it's just like stuff you collect, or can you just earn them from quests?
Well,
or...
that was actually something I was curious about at first, because you'll earn them, like every time you level up, you'll earn mm-hmm. some. Every time you level up a form, you'll earn some.
Okay.
If you defeat dungeons, you'll get some. Mm-hmm. But I've even collected some through regular fights. So if you pay close attention while you're fighting, you'll see money flying everywhere. Sometimes you'll see food items flying everywhere. And then on occasion, and I haven't quite figured that out yet. I don't know if there's like specific enemies that drop them, like bigger, mm-hmm. harder enemies that will drop them, or if there is something else that maybe I do or what have you. But mm-hmm. yeah, on occasion, sometimes.
Or just random.
Yeah, or it's just random. So on occasion, sometimes I'll see the blue medallion and that'll be, you know, there you go. Uh-huh. So, and they're always like, that's one thing I make damn sure to do. Money and those experience coins, don't waste a moment collecting that stuff. Get all you can, because money is another thing that you will need a lot of. And I always feel like I don't have enough.
Too close to life.
Yeah. Very, very much.
Never enough. Need more.
So within the game, you have merchants that are not shopkeepers. Like, you know, like in a Zelda game or something like that, you have like a shop or something within a town, and then you go to that shop and then it's where you shop. Within this game, you essentially have these merchants that you'll find scattered pretty much everywhere. And they typically hang out within towns, or you'll see them like right outside of a dungeon. So they're always kind of right there. And the shopkeepers, they have a plethora of things that you'll want to buy. But again, you're going to be limited on your funds early on. I am right now, and I'm trying, and I made a plan on what I wanted to do. And I was like, all right, so here's the plan. I'm going to earn my money, and I'm going to focus on one thing at first. And then once I get all that bought, then I can focus on the other stuff. So what the shopkeeper typically has are new abilities for your characters. Mm-hmm. Now, these aren't the attack abilities like you see, like they earn. You know, the actual forms will actually earn on their own as you level them up. These are more passive abilities. So there's like one that cuts down how much health you're taking or you take. Another will give you more mana if you have it equipped. I think there was even one that will make your character move faster. So if you've got a slower character, you can equip this and be like, the character cannot move any slower than this amount of speed. Because certain characters are faster, like the horse would be your fastest character.
Yeah.
But if you had the turtle...
Can you stack it with the horse?
You can.
Oh, there you go. So be super fast, right?
Yeah, and that's actually one of the things I need to try, because one of the quests that I was given is some witch out in this boggy area wants to race, and the very first time I was like, all right, yeah, I'll equip the horse and I'll figure this out. Well, they've got the whole path scattered with slime and goop and shit that slows you down, so I had to be very aware of what I was doing, because I lost the first time, and I was like, okay, I see what you're doing. You screwed me over, and then her ass is doing shortcuts, you know.
Oh, of course, they're allowed to cheat.
Yeah, so I was like, all right, I see you cheating bastard, all right. So I won the first one, but then now they want a rematch, and I tried the rematch, and of course, that was wholly unfair.
Aw.
Yeah, like, there was no, I couldn't even figure out how I was going to win this, because, like, their ass is, like, half the screen past me now, and how am I supposed to win this?
Supposed to be winnable?
It's supposed to be.
I didn't know if it was just like they'll troll you by allowing you to do it over and over again, but in reality there's no way to beat it, and then when you X out of it, they'll be like, here's the story and why you lost. And I would think that's hilarious, honestly, if they that without just like not telling you, but just let you keep going as long as you want till you rage quit, and then you see the story progress and you're like, son of a all right.
Well, speaking of rage quitting, which I haven't done, but
okay, well, good.
I've been close, And it was mainly because of very much like Guacamelee. I love the game, okay?
Yeah.
But there would be those moments where like, son of a bitch. Like, you know what you need to do.
Yeah.
And you know it can be done. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, your brain's just not doing
it. It's not telling your fingers to hit it at the right time. Yeah.
Right. So, one of the things that this game has going for it as far as a story thing, and it comes in handy just for some nice side mission stuff and some good levels and what have you, is you will come across these guilds, if you will. First one you'll come across is like a knight's guild. And they're just like, mm-hmm. hey, you know, if you want to join our guild, we'll start you off as like a peon or something like that. That'll be your rank. But then, you know, you can raise up to, you know, being like a real knight or whatever. But you have mm-hmm. to pass trials. So you have to go talk to everybody in this little group. And each one of them have a trial for you. Some okay. seem fairly simple. It's like, hey, I got this thing. I'm going up to this cave. Could you help me try to figure out what's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
Others of them. One in particular, okay? Here's one I didn't quit, but I was getting frustrated with. And I did finish. Was you go into this cave, and the knight's like, hey, there's a big jewel in here we're trying to get out, but it's very, very sensitive. So what I need you to do is I need you to go in there and wipe out all the enemies. But for whatever you do, for God's sakes, do not break the jewel.
Oh, no.
And you're like, okay, fair. So I get in there, and I go to one side away from the jewel. And then the first enemy that I find is right smack dab on the other side of the jewel and rushes straight through it. And breaks it. And I was like, son of a bitch. Okay, so I can't do that. So now you're having to figure out, you've got to stay away from it, keep them from running into it while you're trying to defeat the enemies in this small little room.
Awesome.
Yeah. So tricky, but doable.
Sure.
The other one that I'm having trouble with right now, and I've had to at least two or three times just stop. And just be like, I gotta walk away because I'm gonna get mad. And I don't want to get mad, but I'm getting there.
I know this look on me, and it is rising up. Yep. Mm-hmm.
So what it is one of these knights wants you to come to this archery range, and they want you to hit all the targets. So first one, you know, targets coming through, trying to figure out the pattern, how it's going. I was like, all right, cool. Now the archer has a super move, I guess you'd say, like charge up your arrow shot and it'll go a good distance.
Mm-hmm.
So comes in handy, especially if you can line up the targets, you know, because they're going left to right, what have you, that whole bullshit. Mm-hmm. And so if you line up your shot just right, arrow cut right through them, boom, you got all four or five targets, whatever. So that kind of becomes your strategy at first. You're trying to figure out, well, how can I best line this up? How can I get the most bang for my buck as I'm shooting all these targets? Easy peasy once you figure it out. Great.
Sure.
Second one I wasn't prepared for because they didn't tell me they were going to throw this on me. They're like, all right, well, you got to hit all the rest of these. And I was like, great. So I got ready and I'm ready and I had my arrow pulled back and five targets come barreling through on one side. I was like, whoa.
Rude.
So you can't shoot them fast because you're... If you just tap the button, your arrows only go halfway.
Sure, you got to make the full drawback and all right.
But you can't draw back fast enough to hit all five. So I'm like, how the fuck am I supposed to hit all these when they're going by? So this is where I had to think. I was like, okay, what can I do? Well, start looking through your inventory and some of your other characters may have something to help. Like,
sure, okay.
The slug. That's another one. The slug has an ability called Blob Blob.
Okay.
And it's just like this big hunk of
blob.
Yeah. Goop.
Yeah.
That you can just throw and it just like this big splat.
Oh, okay.
And it can reach. So I was like, aha, I got you. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I started off with the Blob Blob. I hit four and one went past. And I was like, all right. Lost.
Way closer, though.
Yeah. So I was like, well, I got four, so that's a start. Mm-hmm. So I got into my rhythm. I found out timing, where to throw it, when to throw it, got all five. then here comes some more. And I'm like, pa-pow, pa-pow. And they cut them down, so it wasn't just the big five. So I was like, all right, I got this. Five more come barreling through, and I wasn't prepared for that. So I had to start again. I was like, okay, so they're going to keep throwing this shit out at me. I got it.
Yeah.
Try it again. And it's trying to get this rhythm. And even if I can get to the last five that come through, and I'm like, I got it. I just got to finish this last bit. Whatever it is, I've always fucked up. What I feel like has got to be the last run of targets. I'll miss one or something because I'm trying so damn hard.
Yeah. Wow, that's not forgiving, huh?
No.
All the targets.
No.
All right.
So that's the kind of challenges we're talking about, like in Guacamelee. You see it's doable. You know you can do it, but for some reason you just keep making the tiny little mistake.
Then you juked right when I should have juked left. Damn it. You know, start all over.
Yeah, so I've been dealing with that, and I still haven't done it, and I want to because I feel like that's the last thing I have to do with the knights, and I'll be done with their guild. Like, I will have achieved high knight status or whatever it may be, but I just keep fighting it and frustrated.
You know what, though? I found sometimes once I've stepped away from a thing, like the next day or the day after, sometimes I'll get it, like, first try. My brain just needed to step away. It just needed to think about other things for a while.
And that's genuinely what I did one of the last times. I was just like, you know what? Just stop.
Mm-hmm.
Come back later because maybe you're just not in the right mindset for it. Maybe it'll be done later. Just step away. Don't get mad. Yeah. Just go find it because there's plenty
get
more to do.
Yeah.
You know, we can do so many other things right now. Let's just go do it and we'll come back. And that's what I did. So I haven't rage quitted in that regard yet, but I've just gotten frustrated with that to the point where, like, I'm done. I'm just going to walk outside of this.
Set this down. Yeah. Go touch some grass. I'm leaving. Yeah.
And I feel like there are a few other bits like that in the game that I feel like I'm going to hit those walls to where I'm just like, I can't do this. Because even with the leveling up system, okay, I'm not saying they're all impossible. But I feel like the farther you get with your forms, as far as leveling them up, they will start to throw in some pretty challenging ways to finish a quest. For example, one that I've been struggling with the magician, I think it's the magician, is they say have 20 familiars on screen at one time. Well, those are the rabbits you're pulling out of your hat. And each time you use that ability, that uses your mana, which is like your magic or whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting here pulling them out. If you attack enemies, most of the time, I feel like there may be some passive abilities you have to use for some of the characters, but I think most of them kind of have this already kind of ingrained. If you attack enemies or break objects around you, that can raise your mana up along with some other things. So as you're attacking with your familiars, and then I'm attacking enemies, I'm trying to keep the mana going back up and then keep throwing more out, but I feel like they're dying just as fast as I'm getting them out there, so I don't feel like I've ever had like a large group of them out at one time, and I don't know what I need to do to achieve that, you know, because I feel like I've got a lot of mana.
Yeah.
Outside of raising the ability up any higher.
Can you do it? Does the zombies count? Could you recruit like a bunch of them?
See, that was the other part of it too. I was wondering because I feel like they do. So I thought about combining, like using the infection ability with the magician, then conversely using that with the familiars. So I'm having like, here's zombies and then now here's the rabbits and just have this whole group. But for whatever reason, I feel like I've never achieved the overall goal. So I feel like there's got to be a place somewhere in the game that would allow me this possibility. A lot of enemies.
If they're making it a thing in the game, I would imagine they have to give you somewhere to use it.
Somewhere. So it's... There are some of those that are like that where I feel like I've hit a wall. Like I'm trying to figure out what can I do to achieve this goal, and I don't know. Now, there are even some right now where I'm stuck. And I don't want to say I'm stuck in the sense like I'll never be able to figure it out, but I cannot progress with a character's level because I don't have an ability in which they're asking me to use. like there's a form I haven't reached yet or unlocked yet that will give me this ability they're telling me to use, then I can go and use that. And I feel like some of the last few forms that I have left will unlock the moment I level up these characters, because that's the other thing that you'll notice. With rare exception, a lot of your forms are unlocked as you level up your characters or your other forms. So it's almost like a little map, a little bridge, and then it all kind of comes to a head at the top, which I feel like I know where that form's at.
Yeah.
But that's going to be another one of those that's going to frustrate me.
Going to take a minute,
Well, because it's there's this thing, you run into this carny, and he looks like... the hell's the name of that character that McDonald's, the moon, Mac Tonight, wasn't it? He's like, hey, I'm Mac Tonight. I got the sunglasses. I got the big
moon. I haven't thought about that one in forever. Yeah. I don't know that I remember.
So that guy, or at least there's a carny that looks a lot like this guy.
Mac Tonight. Yeah. Oh, I had to look him up because I was like, oh my gosh, I can't remember the last time I've seen this thing. Oh my God. Yeah. All right. Sorry. A little trip down memory lane.
I know. That was, like, oh, yeah, that was a deep cut.
It was. Yeah.
But yeah, you have this carny who's just like, yeah, you go come into my impossible dungeon and you can win for 3,000 whatever the currency is called. For 3,000 smackaroos, I'll give you an unlimited pass to my dungeon. You can come in anytime. And it's like, okay, what's the catch here? Uh-huh. The catch is apparently you have 5 minutes to get as high as you possibly can in this dungeon. And you have a set amount of enemies you have to defeat before you can unlock the next area. So not only are you having to find where the next stairs are, because it's they don't just give you a straightaway, you have to then kill a certain amount of enemies before you get there.
Oh, no. Yeah.
And that even becomes a trial, because at one point I had to sit there and think, okay, I can't spend my time searching for treasure and killing enemies like I do in every other dungeon. I'm on a time limit, so I've got to find a way to kill the enemies I need to and get to my destination as quick as possible all at the same time. And it was not very easy.
No, it doesn't sound like it. I feel like I'd just be throwing rabbits and zombies everywhere and hoping I can just keep booking up the stairs and like...
Yeah, that's literally what I kind of got to a point of doing, where I was like, I'm just going to have... If I got close enough, I was like, I'll just leave it and just keep running and keep moving, because even if I can... If I'm one away and I get right there and there's an enemy right behind me, I can just turn, kill it, and boom, I'm done. But I've just got to keep moving, because the time just keeps going, and you'll earn a little once you get to the end of that floor. So I'll give you maybe like 40 extra seconds. But again, how much did you waste getting there?
Yeah.
So that becomes a challenge. I think the farthest I got was maybe level 6. And I feel
like... How many levels do you know?
I don't know if there's a set amount past this, but according to the missions that I have, or my tasks, there's at least 18, because they want me to get to 18.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I was thinking like 10.
Yeah, that would have been nice.
Yeah, but when you said 6, I'm like, all right, then 10. Nice. Yeah. Even number.
But if I can at least get to 12, I know that I will unlock a new form, because that was one of the things they were saying, is like, if you can get to 12, at least that will unlock a form, and then you can use that. And I'm really interested to see what that form, how it works, because to my understanding...
Do you know what it is?
They say dino form, so it could be any kind of dinosaur, but you know, you kind of... Finger crossed.
What's the one with the long neck? Brontosaurus or whatever? With a maybe, or that one, and you could just poke your head up to level 18.
That would be cool.
I mean, it's not like he's got legs to climb or anything, but maybe you can just you know.
Yeah. I mean, it would be nice if it could be something that simple, but I doubt it. They're not going to. They're not going to
make that easy.
So I'm curious about that form. Another form that I actually unlocked, and I do want to talk about this too, especially if you're jumping into the game first time. Again, this is on PlayStation Plus. No extra money beyond what I'm already paying.
Yeah, like if you have the subscription.
But then I was starting to look into this area, and I was kind of exploring, and then I found this extra dungeon. And they're just like, hey, if you want to come in here, gonna have to pay some money. I'm like, whoa, what the fuck are you talking about? And I was like, yeah. And then they took me to the PlayStation store, and this is what they were talking about. So apparently there's some DLC.
Oh, no, Drakebox, come on.
$5, it's not bad. You get a new expansion of areas and dungeons, plus two extra forms. And I thought, I didn't pay anything for it. $5, sure. I'll go ahead and collect the money.
But out. Once you give up PlayStation Plus, so will those games. Just so
true.
You know.
That is true.
So I'm you'll have to go back and buy the base game if you want to.
That is true. Play.
We'll worry about that later.
Yeah, that was the same mistake I made with Gigabash and Godzilla. I couldn't help myself.
Oh, yeah. I need it.
But I threw down the $5. I said, sure, I'll get two extra forms. That'll be fun. And whatever that is, maybe it'll help out in the game. Whatever. Cool. So they set it up, whatever this area is, because you pretty much have to go underground. If you follow the map, you're going underground. Okay. And you get to this big arena, and you meet all these people who are just like, yeah, we're trying to find out who's the toughest, and you have to go through these trials, and you win these medals, and then if you win the medals, then you can trade them in for this and this and this. Sounded really interesting. I was like, cool, yeah, I'd love to participate. So you have 8 rooms, and you start off with 4, because you have to unlock so many medals to even progress to the next 4. And I don't even know if there was any more past that. I feel like it was just the 8, but there could be more. I don't know.
Yeah.
So the 4...
You just bought more for all you know.
Exactly. So you enter the 4 rooms, whichever one you want. Doesn't matter, but they'll give you a challenge. The first one is you have to defeat all the enemies before they reach the end of the line. So they're on like a conveyor belt or like a little path.
Okay.
And these enemies will come out of this one spot, and they'll curve around this little path and get to the end. So you've just got to make sure they all die before they reach the end.
Okay.
Simple enough, right?
Sounds like it should. Simple directions doesn't mean it's simple to execute.
Exactly.
But, yeah.
So what happens is not only do they throw enemies at you at an alarming pace, but some will have wards on. So if you don't have the right ability equipped, then you're going to have that problem. So even if you thought you had a solution to one, they'll throw in a different ward, and then that will throw you off, and then you have to swap.
And you can switch your forms anytime, right?
Yes.
It doesn't have to be like at the beginning of the thing.
Yeah, now that's one thing I didn't even talk about. There is kind of a quick switch form. So you hold a button, it'll bring up a little menu. You have a lot of forms, as I have kind of mentioned. The wheel that they give you seems to really sit with the ones that you've been using recently the most. So whatever you feel like you've been swapping to the most, that will kind of be in the wheel. If you need a different form that's not in the wheel, you can open up your menu and swap to it. And sometimes, I don't know if there's a way to do this or not. I haven't quite found a way. I thought it was automatic, but here lately I've noticed it hasn't quite been doing this. Sometimes it'll swap whoever you were using at the time and then went into the menu. So say if you were just nobody, if you were just the main guy and he was at the bottom where he typically sits, and then you needed the horse and he's nowhere to be found in your wheel. Open up your menu, go to the horse, swap. If you come back to the wheel, typically what I've seen is now that bottom slot would now be the horse, where nobody was, because that was the last form that was there. That's the form you swapped into now.
Okay.
Therefore, now it'll stay on your wheel.
Oh.
Sometimes. Oh. Hopefully that made sense.
Yeah, I think like trying to keep like your last several that you've chosen is more of like a hotkey or something.
Right.
And it'll rotate. If you stop using one, it might fall off.
Correct. So.
Okay. But can you add it back, or do you have to change into it to add it back?
It seems like you have to kind of add it back by changing into it through the main menu.
Okay.
That's how it seems to work for me. If there is a way to actually add it to the wheel, I haven't figured it out. Like, I don't remember that tutorial.
Gotcha.
But while we're talking about that, because I want to use that as an example, because this is where it can be a little frustrating at times, and this is where trying to figure out the best approach to some of these situations can be important. one of the trials that I remember coming across was you had to break all these little pots or whatever it was within a set amount of time. They were all warded with a different ward.
Okay.
So you had to find a way to defeat all the, or just smash all these pots within this very short amount of time with all four wards and try to find the right character that could pull this off. And it took me forever.
Because one has to do all. Yeah.
It, to me, it had to be. Because I even looked it up at one point and someone says, well, start with the horse and then swap to this one. I was like, yeah, but they don't. The time does not stop when you swap. So
I was just going to ask, does the time pause? No. So no. All right.
So that was the other part of the challenge for me is I was like, well, swapping does me no good because now I'm having to stop and swap. And even if I'm trying to do it in a quick way, the way the fast swap goes, like I said, it's in a wheel. So you have to make sure you are pointing in the right direction. If you are off, you could be in the wrong character.
How long does it take him to transform? Is there a time for that or is it instant?
It's like immediately, but still it's the, if you're in a rush.
Sure.
And say if your character is in the, say the 1 o'clock position, 1, 2 o'clock position, and you don't aim for that, you know, up, down, left, right, that's one thing. But the corners, it's where it gets tricky.
It's got to be so picky,
if you don't have it just so. And this is why I feel like it would have been nice if you could arrange your characters so you know exactly where they are. Again, maybe I missed that tutorial. I just don't remember that. Would have been nice because that becomes a problem. I did finish that task, but I'm talking like skin of my teeth. And it took forever to figure out what I needed to do and how to do it. And I didn't swap to the fucking horse.
Ah, good for you.
You know, because they it just didn't make any sense to me. I was like, why am I going to swap to the horse? Because they were saying, well, the horse has kind of a like a gallop. I think is what they call it. So it runs twice as fast. So I was like, okay, well, if I can just use gallop with another character that's also fast, wouldn't that just make more sense? So I don't have to swap off the fucking horse.
Yeah.
Because I'm already here. Mm-hmm. And it just makes more sense to me in that regard. So.
Hey, if it worked, what more than one way to skin a horse, as they say.
But with the DLC called Frozen Hearth, I don't think I brought that up or mentioned the name of it. That's what they call it. Going back to the path mission, trying to figure out how to do that. That one, I actually succeeded in at least getting a medal or two, but it wasn't perfect because at some point you just get so overwhelmed with the amount of enemies and you're trying your damnedest to kill an enemy and then one will slide by you and then you're chasing that one, but then everything else is still coming up behind it. And I was like, my God, I don't know how I'm going to do this. And I get to the next one, says, don't stay in the dark. I was like, okay. And I'm looking around and there are just certain areas that are lit up. And in no time flat, I was dead. And I was like, what happened? All because I got into the dark. So I didn't know how to deal with that.
Got a flashlight?
Well, yeah, that was one of the things. It was like, is there a character that has light or something? That I don't know.
Right, right.
What's going on here? So I kept going through these trials, checking them out, seeing what they needed. I think another one was like break 50 jars within 45 seconds. To even get a gold, or no, that was even just to get a bronze.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Do you need like 100 to gold it? Because I'm like 50, 75, 100.
It was.
I feel.
No, I think it was just trying. It was still just the 50, but if you wanted a gold, it had to be like within 30 seconds. I think that's right.
Oh, so just quicker at getting them all. Okay.
But here's the thing. It's a very wide open space. And then they throw, they make you swap forms eventually because you have to crawl through a space as the rat to get where you need to go. And while it may seem like, sure, we can just stick with the rat the whole time, the horse kind of makes more sense because it's faster. But at the same time, you're trying to run with the rat, but then you're going to have to still switch to the rat. So what do you do? It's just chaos.
Yeah. It's a lot of strategy involved.
Yeah. See, I haven't figured that one out. So I think I got the bronze. Barely. Just barely. But once I started doing these trials here, I really started to instantly regret paying that $5. Because I was like, God damn it.
I did this to myself.
I just paid $5 to play something I can't even defeat. Now,
yet.
Keep in mind, I will say this. Keep in mind, I had not been playing very long. Therefore, my levels and everything, I don't feel like I was properly equipped for the task they were giving me at that time.
Maybe people had beaten the game first before they got the DLC, or in their head.
Right. And I think that was kind of the idea, is that for me, if I'm going to have DLC, especially with characters that are new, then I want to be able to use them within the base game. You know, if you're giving me the Spider-Man stuff that they're going to probably be doing in part two, where they said, hey, we're going to have DLC coming soon, and we're going to give you some more costumes. It's like, that's fantastic, but can I have more game to go with those costumes? Because I've already beat the game, and I'm not going to play the costume. I could new game plus it, I understand, but maybe I don't feel like playing that again right now.
Yeah, costumes and stuff, I feel, can't be after you beat the game kind of thing. For certain kinds of games, all right? Like, if there's really no ending or a lot of replay value, sure.
Sure.
But, yeah, I don't know with those. Well, you'd have to tell me. I don't feel like, unless you're super into the story or whatever, play it again, you know.
I would say
just to swing around, I could do that.
Sure, yeah. No. With Spider-Man, I'm 100% done with that, so you're gonna have to give me some actual story DLC. I would love to play it again, sure, but not right now.
Give it some time to where maybe you'll forget some story beats.
Then I'll come back around to it. I would love to. I did with the original. I probably beat it 3 times. I would say so. There's no doubt I'll come back to it. I got other things I want to play right now.
Right. So, no, that's fair. Yeah, there's a lot of games.
So again, with this, they're telling me that I've got 2 forms that I can unlock if I do some of the challenges, and that was kind of the thing. Because this is where you could say Drinkbox is a little low down for this one. They did have the characters to unlock separately if you wanted to. So if you didn't want to have to go through the trials, you could then pay $2 to unlock the character, should you want to. But I was like, no, give me the gameplay. I was going to say,
I'd like to play the game.
Yeah.
I'll never understand those things. I thought you wanted to play the games. Mm-hmm. Like, once you buy it, then what? Like, what are you earning?
I'm 100% with you.
Anyway,
So, I bought it for the extra content. That's what I was thinking. And then I get 2 extra characters on top of that. And I thought, well, if I'm doing this now, and I'm here now, then I want to unlock the characters now, so that I can use them as I'm playing the regular game.
Yeah, so, makes sense.
Again, didn't quite work out the way I was hoping. So I left. I came back later once I had leveled up some of my characters and their abilities and tried again, because I think when I got down there, I didn't quite have as many forms as I do now. So when I came back, I was like, okay, well, I have extra forms. I have extra abilities. I think I could play around with this and change it up and find a way to make this work in my favor. And sure enough, I was able to do some of the challenges. Didn't quite ace them all, but I was able to at least get a bronze medal or something. Got a lot farther than I did the last time. Yeah. So I was like, all right, that's fair. And I think there was even one that I actually pulled off a gold, but I can't remember what it was. And there's one that I know I can get a gold for. But the problem I'm having right now is they want you to infect an enemy with all status ailments at one time.
Ooh.
I've gotten almost all of them, but I'm missing one.
Therefore, are they on a timer?
No, this is like, they give you all the time you need, and you can just keep wailing away.
Well,
at this enemy.
Like the ailments that you throw, are those timed? Yes, like they'll last only so long? Because I feel like maybe by the time I got to the last one, the first one's dropped off, and then I'm stuck in this hellish circle of trying.
Absolutely. In that regard, yes, they are timed. So the idea is, and since I haven't quite gotten the gold, I did get the bronze and silver because I was able to at least do 3 and 4, 5. I don't know. however many ailments they were asking me to, I was able to pull it off because it was like,
okay,
you've got poison, fear, stun, infection.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's more. I can't think of what they are. There's a
lot. Dots. More yeah. dots.
So whatever it was, I was able to get at least all but one, and that's only because I don't have the final one to infect or
okay
status.
So you still have to play a little bit more to get the final status.
Yeah, whatever character that I'm supposed to unlock. And I honestly have no idea what it will be. Maybe fire, because I know that I've gotten burned before, so that's the one thing I can't do.
No. So. Sounds like there's a lot of forms.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot.
A lot of forms.
And I hope that I'm also trying to make this not sound as complicated as it might seem. It's very much a game that you learn as you play. You know, mm-hmm. as you kind of go along, you kind of get into a rhythm. You find what works best for you. You'll start off very, you know, simple and probably struggle a little bit trying to get through certain enemies because certain enemies will just frustrate you to no end, and you try to find ways to deal with them as quick as possible, but it's not so easy.
Yeah. Well, Drinkbox, they tend to be, they're difficult.
But
I feel like in a fun way.
Yeah.
But they're difficult.
Yeah.
You know? Like, they're definitely for people who enjoy, well, I was going to say Guacamelee's platformers. If you love platformers, you'll like Guacamelee. This looks more like, I can't think of any more. But yeah, like the art style and the way, well, you said it best, like Zelda too, you know, how you go into each zone and dungeon.
Mm. And very much the dungeon crawler thing, I feel like that is an aspect of it that I don't think I've really touched on yet. They are, what do you call them? The procedurally generated?
Oh, like it's random each time you go into a zone or, yeah.
Well, as far as the dungeons are concerned, or at least from what I've seen, with few exceptions, I feel like some are, some aren't. Because I know the very first dungeon that you actually have to crawl through, this is a strategy for anybody else. If you want it, you can have it. If not, you know, you play your way. But this is what I did.
Okay, yeah.
The very first dungeon is pretty much you trying to find your way out of this prison that you're stuck in. Because you turn into the rat, you follow the path through, and then that leads you to a dungeon. You go through that, you get out, you're free. You can go back through the dungeon if you want. And I did initially with the rat and some of the other forms that I had because I was leveling them up. I would go through whatever they were telling me to do, whether it's to use this ability on, you know, 20 enemies or whatever, and that unlocked something or that leveled up. I just kind of went through the first dungeon several times, getting a feel for it, leveling up my forms. And I felt like that helped because then I was getting familiar with it. It was a repetitive, sure, but I wasn't doing it just going in circles. It was still benefiting my characters. It was still benefiting me. So I was getting used to the gameplay and I was getting used to using the forms, swapping through the forms, and then, of course, getting stronger as I was going through. Then when you get outside, felt a little bit more prepared. So that's what I did. But, you know, people, you do however you want to.
I'm sure there's several ways to complete it, you know.
And same way with, you know, which directions you go. Like I said, they don't really tell you what you have to do. They just kind of give you a vague understanding of what the next goal is. So, for example, one of the things that you're doing within each dungeon is you collect these stars. And they look like star rods, kind of like your wand or whatever, but they call them something else. I don't remember what they are. But you'll collect tons of these, and then they are then in turn used to unlock the main dungeons. Because you have a lot of small dungeons that you can find throughout. They're not all marked on your map. You can buy stuff. I didn't even talk about the merchant. Or I didn't go deep into the merchant. God damn it. I bounced all over the place. I'll come back to him. So you can buy stuff from the merchant. He'll say, like, I'll mark a spot on your map if you want to know where the dungeon, like a hidden dungeon's at. But I feel that's not a necessity because if you're like me and you're going to explore, once you come into contact or you're kind of within the area of the dungeon, it pops up as a thing to do. So it'll pop up on your list as like, hey, you got to defeat this dungeon. And then you'll see it on your map. So it's not like you have to get it marked.
You just have to be willing to wander.
Right.
Like explore. Yeah.
Exactly.
If you're not going to do that. Yeah.
And I just don't see why you wouldn't do that. You know?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You got all this... this world,
but you could be like me too, and you just get so directionally challenged and turned around where you're like, you just, you know what?
Sure.
Just tell me which way I need to go, because I feel like I've turned a different direction each time and I'm still here. Yeah.
And I feel like that even with the way the game plays out, they still kind of point you in the direction of places you need to go. But the dungeons he's marking are the side dungeons. So if you're looking for extra content or a place to do whatever, sure. And even those dungeons can sometimes have a quirk to them. For example, one of the first demi dungeons I came across, it had a level cap, and then it also said that everything within the dungeon will deal maximum damage, like the 9999. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's the enemies, but that's also you. So you can kill them just as easily as they can kill you. So this kind of becomes a Hotline Miami situation. You've got to be good about what you're doing, and you can ace this. And I even looked at trying to figure out strategies based on other people's work and how they did it. And that's basically what they said. It's like, you're just going to have to, you know, try your luck and try not to get hit. That's about the best you can do. He said, but if you can get to the boss, I mean, it's a one-hit kill. As long as you get the first hit in.
Sure, yeah, you got to be the one to hit. Yeah.
So just be aware. I mean, you can. It's doable. You just have to be very cautious about what you're doing. So I was like, okay.
It's like walk in the door and just throw something.
But I even thought about that. Yeah, like the familiars and the zombies. I mean, hell, Christ, you stay back and let them handle everything? Why not? I mean, I feel like that would be the smartest move, but I haven't attempted it in that way yet.
To
I
see did, if it's even,
I walked in for a minute and I was like, all right, let's try this out. And then I went boom and died. And I was like, well, that was fun. Okay. I'm going back outside.
Yeah.
So I'll eventually get around to it. But, so you'll have those, you have others that there are certain wards that the enemies will have. Like they will tell you, it's like your enemies in this dungeon will have this ward and that ward that you'll have to contend with. Some, you have no health items to pick up. So you have to be very careful. However, this is where I'll talk about the egg being a bonus. The egg has an ability that's kind of like putting an egg under a sunlight, you know, kind of like farmers do or whatever if you're trying to hatch some chicks. So that's an ability to help you heal. The egg is the only one that has this ability, but then you can add that to other people, and then they can then in turn heal. So that's how I defeated that dungeon, is I had that ability set and ready to go, so I could just use my mana to raise my health back up, and then voila.
There
so
you
I
go.
Didn't need the health items, but they are helpful. They do come in handy, but I have a way to counter that if I need to. But yeah, you'll encounter stuff like that, and then when you get into some of the bigger dungeons, like the main dungeons, they will actually stop you from leveling your character up, which is a little frustrating, but again, I kind of get it, because this is supposed to be the main thing, so you can prepare before you get here.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
So figure it out before you get here. Once you're here, you are who you are.
Well, you can still swap your character, you just cannot level them up.
Okay.
So if you went in thinking that you're going to be, all right, well, I'm going to take care of this one and this one and this one, and that'll take care of
that. That's going to ding me level, whatever.
Yeah. Like, nope. No, they cut that off the moment you walk in. So at least you know what your big dungeons are.
Sure.
But you have plenty to deal with. You don't have to do them. That's the other part of this game. I probably played 20 hours or more, and I've heard that this is not a 20-hour game. But I've turned it into one because, you know...
Is it supposed to be shorter?
I guess. I mean, a lot of things, it was like, this is an 18-hour game, tops. And I was like, okay, well...
Was that story, or is it like how long to beat, where they're like, side quests can be this, and...
I would say story. If you're focused solely on the story, but I just don't feel like it's as fun that way. Now, granted, I could lose complete interest in this game by the time I get to the end, because there's not going to be anything else to do but the story. But that's also kind of how I do games. I like to finish everything up before I go.
Yeah.
And there's still a lot of side quests that I can't figure out yet because I don't think I have an ability or something to finish it with.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll eventually get there. The shopkeeper that I never finished talking about, that son of a bitch. Like I said, he has a bunch of passive abilities you can buy. He also has, and I do like this. It's almost like he has stock of certain items. So you can level up your stats. So he has a strength booster, a defense booster, magic boost, and then a magic defense boost.
Okay.
You have 15 of these that you can buy from this shopkeeper. And each time you buy one, the price goes up. So this is what I was trying to do as I played the game, is I was like, okay, I'll focus on buying one of each so the price continually goes up each time. So one of this, one of this, one of this, one of this. So by the time I'm done, there will be one left for each once I get to that final price.
Okay.
But my stats will always continually be going up to balance that out. You know, so I'm not just focused on just being super strong or just being super... you know,
agile.
Yeah. Whatever it may be. So I was trying to level all that out, balance it out. And then once I've gotten all those, then I will start buying all the passive abilities that I've been avoiding. I have bought a few, but when I looked through them, it was trying to decide necessarily which one would be beneficial to me in this particular moment. Like, is there something in these passive abilities that I absolutely must have right now? And like the speed one, for example, that was one I actually did because I thought, well, maybe certain characters could benefit with this. Maybe it could work.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but doesn't hurt to try. And so I thought that would be a benefit. What else is there in there? I don't know. I feel like others start to unlock as you buy one. Then he also has other things that you can buy, which I feel like this is almost like a... I don't want to say a cheat, but I guess if you're looking for a quick and easy way to boost your stats, it's they have this plethora of bullshit work that you can do that earns you quick experience. And you buy these, they're very cheap. They're probably like 300 gold pieces or whatever you have. And it's just to do basic stuff. I bought one last night. It's just walk around. And once you hit a certain amount of steps, boom, you got it. And there you go. Experience. The other one is like
Fitbit.
Yeah. Something like that, yeah. Then there's others. It's collect treasure chests, kill enemies, defeat a dungeon. And you just get experience for doing these on top of the experience you will get for already doing those things. So it's just bonus experience. They're giving away for free. And I'm like, all right, cool.
There you go.
I'll do it. So there are ways to level up. There are ways to get strong. But everything in the areas... I will say this, for the most part, from what I've seen, everything will kind of level up around you, almost.
Oh, so to keep everything kind of the same level?
Almost. Oh. There are times I have encountered certain enemies, and this threw me way off guard, because I just recently leveled up and wandered through this one area that I'd been coming through, and every enemy took off in the other direction, running away from me. I'm like, whoa, this is new. And then it occurred to me, oh, I'm a higher level than them. They are terrified of me now. Ha ha.
Oh, okay.
So it hasn't happened often, but it can happen. So they try to keep everything balanced in that regard, because say if you saw a certain dungeon and it said, like you see it from a distance, says level 46 or whatever like that, and you're not at level 46. So you come back at level 50. Well, that may have... gone up to 50 just to kind of keep you leveled out. I've not seen any dungeon not try to be on par with you. Always be above you, but at least stay on par with you.
Yeah. No, yeah, because I mean, would it really be fun if you could just constantly go in and mow everything down?
Sure.
I mean,
they find a way to fuck you over regardless and trying to keep things challenging. But I would agree. I think that would kind of get like, oh, well, I can just come in here and kill everything and no problem.
Yeah.
Kind of be a little lame.
Yeah.
But I haven't even talked about the story as a whole. And I really don't want to go into to great details, because there was a little bit of a twist in the story that I feel like maybe should have been obvious, but I wasn't 100% sure because of the way they were telling the story. And then once this story B got revealed, I was like, okay. Like, it made sense in context to it, and it just made things a little bit more interesting as well. But I was like, all right, that's interesting. So I don't want to say too much about it, but the writing itself, again, if you've seen Guacamelee, if you played Guacamelee, yeah. you know the kind of humor in which they inject in these things.
They're fun.
Same stuff here. It's just your character has zero fucks to give about anything. That's one of the things I enjoy about the conversations you have is, you know, in most games, they'll be like, hey, you got to do a thing, yes or no. And those are your options. Here, it's like no or absolutely not. So those are your options. All you're right. not
going
to do it.
So I'm not going in there? Is that what you're saying? Yeah.
And it's almost like, how do you want to come off to this person? Do you want to seem polite, or do you want to come off rude? And depending on who the character is, sometimes I go rude. Because I'm like, nah, I'm not going to do that.
Not everybody deserves niceness.
Yeah. So I like that they have played with that mechanic in the sense that, you know, most games, if you say you want to do something, the character's like, well, I can't let you do that. Like, they're not going to allow you to do it, even though you said yes.
The illusion of choice.
Yeah. And they're just like, no, I'm sorry, can't do that. Here, they just say, no, if... we're not going to allow you to do it. We're just going to give you the options of how you're going to respond, and that can be on you. I don't know. I feel like the story is very interesting. I'm curious to see how it plays out by the end of it all because of certain things that have happened. But again, humor is on point. And again, I feel like that's something that Drinkbox does really, really well, is they've got some sharp writers with some... pretty interesting satirical stuff and just some goofy stuff on top of that too. I've still been trying to eyeball and see if there have been any references that I've missed, because I think it was in Guacamelee 2 they threw in some there were some pretty interesting references to pop culture.
Oh yeah,
just all around. And some were blatantly obvious, and some were a lot more nuanced in how you looked at them. You're like, I think that's what they're trying to hint at here. That's pretty awesome, you know? So I haven't seen that here, but that doesn't mean it's not there. And maybe I haven't noticed.
Sure.
But
or we're not as in tune with pop culture anymore.
That could definitely be.
I feel like that's me, where I'm just like, I just don't even know what's super popular.
And I've also been kind of keeping my eyes open for anything that would be Guacamelee related, like them kind of doing a nod or a wink back to that, and just being like, you know, you remember that game, don't you? Huh?
Yeah. If not, you should go play that now. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And one last thing I want to talk about, because I thought I should have mentioned this when I was talking about the design aesthetic, and it was something I didn't quite pick up on initially, but then it occurred to me. I was like, oh shit, I see what they're doing now, like what it's supposed to be. If you take a look at all the forms, you might not see it at first, but the forms in which you take actually kind of reflect you and who you are in a way, mainly in the face, because your character, like I said, he's a goofy looking little fella. He's just a plain
stick man for all intents and purposes.
Yeah. He's got two big black eyes, a little mouth, and some ears, weirdly enough. I know it.
I gotta hear.
I know I say it's weird, but it kind of is. You know, he's just so plain. And the ears just kind of...
literally just a body.
They stand out. Yeah. Like the little... there's like a little design puppet or whatever that I've seen that's just him. And then the kids can draw on it and what have you. And
okay.
I can't remember what the hell they're called. Hopefully you know what I'm talking about, or somebody knows, goddamn.
Somebody out there.
I know one of my kids had one at one time, and it was just like this little white doll that looked like him, and you could just dress it up and color on it and wash it off if you want, and then back to it.
Start over, yeah.
But yeah, so like I said, the big black eyes specifically is what I want to focus on, because if you take a look at each character, they have that as their defining feature. No matter what they look like, the black eyes stay, and I feel like that's to reflect him, because none of the other characters in the game have that look.
Okay.
So you get the sense that it's still you because it's all in the eyes. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Pretty clever little design choice to take on different forms, but still have a defining feature that is still inherently him. And I thought that was a pretty interesting design choice.
Nice and fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent. But
yeah, I really want to just recommend it. If it sounds like something that might be, it's not as complicated as I made it sound. I was just trying to make sure that I had all the details intact. So you understood that it's not just trying to be Zelda or anything like that. There's so much more to it. Mm-hmm. I think it's a lot of fun. I could see where you could possibly kind of get burnt out on it at some point if you're kind of like me.
I have to do all the side stuff.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that I am. I mean, hell, every day I keep coming back to it. I'm just like, yeah, I want to play this. I haven't got to play it as much as I want. But like I said, I've at least gotten through 20 some odd hours. I've got a good chunk of the map completed. I've got a lot of the forms unlocked. And they're getting to that higher level. I haven't quite reached their maximum, but I'm getting there. And I'm still working on it. And I'm not going to give up on those side quests until they push me to the brink of insanity.
Right. Until I'm legit not having fun anymore. Yeah. And this is just a chore. Yeah.
And I don't know. I've really debated on this one. I don't know if this would be one I'd go for a platinum on because of that frustrating thing. Because I feel like a lot of it came down to you got to complete this, got to complete that. And I feel like there's going to be a point where there's going to be something in my way that I'm going to look at. I'm like, I've tried and I've just gotten so mad that it's just not worth it. I don't want to sacrifice my happiness or to be angry just trying to get this fucking platinum. So the hell with it.
Right.
So if I can't, that'd be par for the course for Drinkbox because they always keep certain things just right out of reach for me. But I appreciate them. I really do because kind of what you said, it's challenging, but there's still fun to it.
Yeah.
You know, they don't make it brutally hard to the point where it's just like the hell of this game. It's
well, a lot of the fun too is like they make it to the point where you can figure it out, and I feel like that's a rewarding thing as a gamer. When like that's why I kind of think having the internet and all this kind of stuff is not good anymore for gaming, because like as soon as you mess something up once or twice, your instinct is to go look it up. We're not discovering these things on our own anymore. But you know, it can be done.
Sure.
Just give it time and try to work it out on your own, you know. Yeah. And then if you're like still on the same thing 10 years later, then you're like, you know what? I just want to get past this part. Then fine. Look it up. You know?
Right. I mean, this is just, it's just one of those games that I can appreciate the idea of being difficult, but still being fun at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like these are the type of difficult games that I look for because I don't want to be frustrated. I want to know that I can overcome whatever is in front of me. It's just going to take a minute. I have to strategize. I have to think on it. And I'll get there. And I know I will. But that's why I don't like Dark Souls. That's why I don't like all that shit. Because I just feel like you can say I got a game better. Fuck you. Okay?
Yeah.
God damn it. We grew up in the Nintendo era of all these fucking hard games.
Did all of you jerks grow up in an era if you didn't beat it, you just didn't beat it?
Yeah. And, you know, you might have had a cheat code if you had lucky.
Or if you had $10 to call the hotline for 99 cents a minute, you know, to get a hint or whatever. But, yeah, true gamer, my ass.
Yeah, no, you talk about a true fucking gamer. You go back to some of those NES games, goddammit. Go try out Ghosts and Goblins and see how far you
get
with that
shit. In its original form.
Yeah.
Not, like, ported to something else or remastered or anything like that. Go find the OG everything. Sit down. If you grade through it, great. Perfect. It's, you know, but.
No, this is the right kind of difficult for me. And even, you know what? I'm going to even use Ghosts and Goblins since I brought it up as a great example. That was a game that frustrated the fuck out of me. But you know what? I still came back to it for whatever reason. I would still
come
back to it.
Some addictive quality about them to certain games. It's just like,
It's like I knew I couldn't, I would never make it to the end, but by God, it never stopped me from trying.
I enjoyed the journey.
That's right. But this, I feel like I'll make it to the end, obviously. It has, I didn't even talk about the save feature. There's pretty much little stones that you can come across throughout the entire game. Just walk past it, saves your game, boom, done. And if you die, you'll come back to the last one that you died at. And, you know, that's fair.
Yeah.
It's just always make sure you walk by a stone. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
And you'll be fine.
One, walk by it, yeah.
But I recommend this game. Like I said, with Drinkbox, I think I would recommend just about anything they've done. Genuinely can't think of anything else outside of Guacamelee that I've played of theirs, which is sad. But I don't feel like they've done a lot either.
Yeah, I don't think they're that... Like, I'm looking at their page right now, and then there's one called Mutant Blobs Attack. Guacamelee and Guacamelee 2 and Nobody Saves the World. So we pretty much played all of their games.
Okay.
I've not heard of this one, though. Came out in 2012.
Oh, the Mutant
Blobs. A sci-fi
blobs.
Puzzle platformer. You know it's going to be ridiculous.
It has their aesthetic for sure, but I...
Oh, definitely.
Don't...
And a platformer?
Ooh. I don't know if I've ever seen that in... I have to look that up on YouTube later or something.
Because, yeah, I wanted to go see, because then Guacamelee was 2012. Guacamelee 2 was 2018. Okay. So then, yeah, before it was on my radar, I think. Well, then there you go. That's all their games. Or at least right now on Steam, anyway.
Oh, and one last thing. I have not tried this, but it is co-op. You can do local or online. So if you want to play with somebody, don't know how well that works. But, you know, it could be great. It could suck. I can't speak to its compatibility with two people, but it seems like it could be fun. You know, two people maybe. Could be a little chaotic, but I think it could be.
Yeah.
So if you've got a friend you want to try it out, let us know, because I would love to hear that. If not, then I just want to hear what people think about it.
Yeah.
So if you've played Nobody Saved His World, or if it sounds like a game that you want to play, tell us. Let us know on social media, wherever you find us, because we're everywhere. And you can just send us an email if social media is not your thing. SupermegCrash@gmail.com. Support the show over on Patreon. You can leave us a 5-star review on your podcast app of choice, even though they're starting to fall.
Yeah.
Dominoes.
Which everyone's left, I guess, at this point.
Maybe we'll get one of those... great Spotify deals since they're dropping off.
No. Well, they still signed Rogan. That's all their money,
oh,
right?
Yeah, that's true. I don't want to be associated with that. Anyway, just keep up with everything over at pencilpaperproductions.com/supermegacrash. Links are down below. You know that. But join us again next week, siblings. Until then, go beyond your limits.
This has been a Pencil and Paper Podcast Network production.